I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Very warm welcome to those who have traveled and have come back. And a very warm welcome to all those, our friends from interstate. And in particular, we want to welcome Elder and Mrs. Lok, Tak Lun. Very, very welcome to both of you. Now, today, we want to look at this topic, deceived and delivered. And the passage that we read earlier on is the one that we want to focus on, and that is John chapter 8, verses 30 to 48. Now, this passage here contains the verbal exchanges between our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, with the scribes and the Pharisees. And these exchanges took place after the Lord Jesus Christ had forgiven this woman who was caught red-handed in adultery. Now, the Jews had brought this woman to the Lord Jesus Christ for him to judge. And their whole purpose was not actually to glorify the name of the Lord, but their whole purpose was to try to trap the Lord Jesus Christ into saying something about which the Jews could bring an accusation against him. Now, if the Lord Jesus, in other words, they tried to trap him. Now, if the Lord Jesus Christ that day had said, "Stone this woman," then they would have something to say against him. Yes, because by saying, "Stone her," then he could have been seen by the Roman authority as one who had taken authority into his own hand, or taken the laws into his own hand, in which case he might be offending the Romans, yes, who of course were the authority as far as the law was concerned in those days. And then, if the Lord Jesus Christ had said, "Stone her," then he will not appear good to the general masses, the Jews, because the Jews had been hearing the Lord Jesus Christ preaching about peace, mercy and love. And here he said, "Stone her," which would indicate that he was not showing love. Or if the Lord Jesus Christ had said, "Don't stone her," he would be in trouble also, because then he would be seen as pouring contempt on the laws of Moses. The Jews could accuse him of doing that, because as far as the Mosaic laws were concerned, it is very clear. Anybody who was caught guilty or caught red-handed of adultery would be stoned to death. And here, if the Lord Jesus Christ were to say, "Don't stone her," then he would be violating the laws of Moses. But our all-wise Savior could never, ever be trapped. And he simply spoke to the conscience of the self-righteous Jews. He said this, "He that hath no sin, let him first cast a stone." And all the Pharisees, of course, didn't like what they heard, but they had no choice. They had to leave this woman alone. They didn't touch her because they were stricken in their conscience. And after that, the Lord forgave this woman. The Lord said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Now, it was after this incident that these verbal exchanges are recorded here in the Gospel of John, in John chapter 8. So we read in verse 30. "And as Jesus spake these words, many believed on him." Verse 31. "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." Now, reading these words, we might think that the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to believers. Now, if you read further down, you'll realize that he actually was not speaking to believers. Those who heard him, at least many of them, were unbelievers. Yes, they could be those who believe in the head, but not believe in the heart. And that's why they did not continue in the word of the Lord. The Lord said, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." They were those who did not continue in the word of God, because what registered was in the head and not in the heart. Now, this morning, I'd like us to see how deceived these Jews were in regards to their salvation. Yes, they had head knowledge, and they were very, very deceived, and they were deceived with regards to their salvation. They thought that they were saved, but they actually were not saved. And they thought that they were not in bondage, but they were actually in bondage. They thought that they were free, but they were actually in bondage to sin and to the devil. And finally, I'd like us to see that only the Lord Jesus Christ could deliver them from that kind of self-deception and could deliver them from that bondage of sin. Now first, let's see how deceived the Jews were by themselves, not by other people. They actually deceived themselves, and see how deceived they were. Look at verses 31 to 33. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." Verse 32. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" They said, "We are Abraham's seed. We are Abraham's descendants, and were never in bondage." Were they really never in bondage? What a great self-deception, as we shall see. They were really in bondage, and they had deceived themselves into thinking that they were not. Now, their declaring that they were never in bondage really reminds me of this fairy tale I think we must have heard when we were kids. The fairy tale about the emperor's new clothes. I think we have heard about this one, right? The emperor's new clothes. There was this emperor who was very obsessed with wearing new clothes all the time. He wanted to look good all the time, and he was very, very proud of the way he looked. One day, a con man came into his kingdom and told him that, "I can make a very, very beautiful royal robe for you." Yes? And the emperor was very much taken in by this con man, and so he agreed for the robe to be made for him. So this con man pretended to make all the measurements and so forth. And then came the day on which the parade was to take place. And on that day, the emperor was going to put on this new royal robe. And this con man told him that, "Well, this is a very, very beautiful royal robe. But there's one thing you must know. You will never see that royal robe. But others looking at you will be able to see that royal robe." So this royal robe was supposedly put on him. Now, during the parade, all the subjects could see that the emperor was naked. But of course, they did not say anything, but they cheered him on. The emperor was very, very pleased with himself. You see, his pride had caused him to deceive himself into thinking that he had a beautiful robe on when he was actually naked. But one little boy was very discerning. He looked at the emperor and he asked mommy, he said, "Mother, how come the emperor is naked?" My dear friends, of course, this is a fairy tale. But friends, let's not be too quick to distance ourselves from the self-deception of this silly emperor, we might say. Yes, we might be guilty of self-deception too. Look at the Jews. Yes, they were very, very good at deceiving themselves, just like this emperor was very good in deceiving himself. Yes, they declared, "We were never in bondage to any man." True or false? Never in bondage to any man. That was, of course, false, not true. They were so proud, they didn't want to admit that they were ever in bondage. They deceived themselves into thinking that they were never in bondage. You see, during the time of Moses, were they not in bondage? Of course they were in bondage to the Egyptians. And then subsequently, when they entered into the promised land, time and again they were in bondage during the time of the judges. Often they were in bondage to the enemies, then God will raise the judges to deliver them from the enemies. Then in the later part of the history, remember they were in bondage to the Assyrians, and then they were in bondage to the Babylonians, and then they were in bondage to the Persians. And during the time of the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth, were they not in bondage? Of course they were. They were in bondage to the Romans. And in fact, during that time, they were looking out for the Messiah to come, hopeful that he would deliver them from the rule of the Romans. Yes. Then the Lord pointed out to them the worst kind of bondage that they were in. Verse 34, the Lord Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Whosoever committeth sin is in bondage to sin." Yes, he is a slave to sin. He commits sin. Now what does that mean? To commit sin doesn't mean that he commits sin only once. To commit sin means to commit sin habitually, time and again and over again. And that was what the Jews were guilty of. They were committing sins habitually. But they were so religiously proud, they deceived themselves into thinking that they were not in bondage to anything, least of all to sin. Now what kinds of bondage, my dear friends, were they in? Yes, in bondage too. Of course, first of all, they were in bondage to the sin of pride. Now it was this bondage that they had to the sin of pride that caused them to be in bondage to other sins. So first of all, they were in bondage to pride. And as a result of that, they were in bondage to other sins. Now sure, the sins of adultery, the sins of fornication, the sin of fraud are very, very grievous sin, and we should hate these sins as the Lord hates them. But friends, the worst of all sins is the sin of pride. Now this was the sin that caused Lucifer, that supreme angel, to fall and to turn into the devil. And we read this account in the book of Isaiah, chapter 14. Alright, maybe we should turn to this passage to look at how the devil fell. Alright, it was, but keep your finger at John chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. Yes, members of the church, please help our friends to refer to the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 14. And look at verse 13. Alright, the second part of verse 13. Yes, this was Lucifer speaking. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sights of the earth. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. You see how audacious he was, how proud he was. He said, I will be like the Most High. And verse 15 says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. So you see, because of his pride, he fell from Lucifer. From Lucifer, he became Satan. Now, our first parents succumbed also to this sin, the sin of pride. Our first parents wanted to be like God. That is why when Satan brought this temptation to Eve, Eve succumbed to the temptation because she wanted to be like God. Our first parents wanted to be like God and they fell. Now, the scribes and Pharisees were in bondage to this sin also, the sin of pride. It was the bond sin, it was this bondage to the sin of pride that caused them to deceive themselves into thinking that they were not in bondage to anything, not in bondage to sin. But what's the truth, friends? Pride. Pride deceived them into thinking that they were righteous in the sight of God. So righteous that God owed them places in heaven. That was in the mind of the Jews. Yes, they were so deceived by their pride, so much in bondage to the sin of pride, that they thought that God owed them places in heaven. Yes, and so they would show off their righteousness. Inverted commas, of course, in inverted commas. Yes, self-righteousness. They would pray in public places. They made sure that people knew that they were praying. They would pray in very prominent places, not in some secluded street corners, but in some very, very prominent places. And when they fasted, they wanted people to know that they fasted. And so they would put on very sad-looking faces when they fasted. Yes. And to them, the publicans and the sinners had no chance at all to get into heaven. Only they could get into heaven. In fact, God owed them places in heaven. So they thought in their minds, my dear friends, let's beware that we are not subject to the sin of pride, that we are not in bondage to pride. Now, if we are in the bondage of pride, we might deceive ourselves into thinking that salvation is ours. Because we are churchgoers, we come to church every Lord's Day. We are decent people, we are peace-loving people, we are charitable people, we are very civil people, we are very, very civic conscious, we are responsible people, we are responsible parents, we are responsible children, and so on and so forth. Yes, And we, then we might feel that those outside the church, the scums of society, the vulgar people, the immoral people, these people are not fit for the kingdom of God. But as far as we are concerned, we are all right. But friends, what's the truth? The truth is, except we are willing to humble ourselves to accept the grace of God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are lost, heading for eternal hell. We are really no better than the sinners outside the church. The only difference is they're outside the church. They are sinners outside the church, but we are sinners in the church. As far as God is concerned, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's the truth, friends. Now, if the Lord didn't save us by His grace, we might not be the crooks in the dark alleys. We might not be the crooks in the drug-infested areas. Yes, but friends, we could very well be the educated, so-called educated, sophisticated crooks that are very, very capable of swindling our companies of millions of dollars. And we could be very, very good at scheming and plotting the downfall of other people. Isn't it very true? But for the grace of God, we would be like that. My dear friends, let us not be proud of anything that is in us. There is no righteousness in us for us to boast about. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. Now, we might not be in bondage to religious pride, but we could be in bondage to other kinds of pride. What can we be proud of? We can be proud of our wealth. We can be proud of our health. We look very, very good. Yes, we can be very proud of our ability. We could be very proud of our looks. Yes, could be very proud of our success. We could be proud of so many things. The pride of having these great earthly things can give us actually a false sense of security. We think we are so good, so capable, so able, so wealthy, so fit. We can deceive ourselves into thinking that we are very, very secure. We don't need God. So we say, friends, the truth is we desperately need God. All of us here desperately need God. Without Him, we are nothing and can do nothing. Without Him, the truth is we are heading for eternal hell. And that's the truth, friends. We need to examine ourselves and see if we are not in bondage to pride. And if we are in bondage to pride, we might deceive ourselves into thinking that we are free from all kinds of bondage. When we are not free, we think that we are safe when we are not safe. We think that we do not need God when we need God, if we are in bondage to the sin of pride. Now, the pride of the scribes and Pharisees deceived them into thinking that they were free from bondage. But the truth was they were not free. They were in bondage, and they were in bondage to another sin. The sin of murder. First, they were in bondage to the sin of pride. But look, they were also in bondage to the sin of murder. Look at verse 37. The Lord says, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. You seek to kill me. The Lord read their hearts. They were murderers. Of course, at that point in time, they could deny that they were murderers because they had actually not killed the Lord Jesus Christ yet. For them, the actual killing has to take place before a murder is committed. That is as far as the Jews were concerned. But you know what the Lord says in the Sermon of the Mount? He said this, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. If you just very, very provocatively go call somebody a fool and want to pick a quarrel with him, my dear friends, you are in danger of hellfire, because you could very well be guilty of the sin of murder. And then his word in 1 John chapter 3 verse 15 says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Yes, if we hate, we are guilty of murder. That's what the word of God tells us. Yes? Now, do we hate people? Do we? Now, if we persistently hate, we are really in the bondage of hatred. We are servants to hatred. We are slaves to hatred. Day and night, my dear friends, we might be thinking of getting even when somebody hurts us. If we are subject to hatred, we are in bondage to hatred. Before we shut our eyes, we think of how we may be able to get even. Have you had that experience? Yes. And then in the middle of the night when we wake up, we think of how we may be able to get even. And throughout the day, there's just one thought in our mind. How may I be able to get even? My dear friends, if we are unrepentant from this sin, it could very well mean that we have never been set free from this sin. We are living in sin. We are in bondage to sin. And if we are in bondage to sin, have never been set free from sins, let's be warned. We could be in danger of hellfire. Yes, let's not deceive ourselves, my dear friends, and let us be warned against this sin of hating. Now, as you read on, you will also find that the Jews were in another kind of bondage. Of course, they denied that they were in that kind of bondage, but they were in another kind of bondage, the bondage to the devil. You look at verse 44. You see, they were in bondage. Verse 44. The Lord Jesus Christ said this to them. Verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father he will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. My dear friends, Satan was their father. They were in bondage to the devil. That is why when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke the truth to them, they would not believe him. My dear friends, please search yourselves. Yes, all of us must search ourselves and see if we are in this kind of bondage, bondage to the devil. My dear friends, if you are indeed free from this bondage, you are not under this bondage, but free from this bondage, then when the truth is spoken to you, you will be very receptive to the truth. You will surely believe. My dear friends, but supposing the truth is spoken to you week after week from this pulpit, and then you don't care to receive the truth. You reject the truth. Now what does that mean, my dear friends? You are not receptive to the word of God. Now if you are not receptive to the word of God, the Lord says this, I tell you the truth, you believe me not. You know why? Because you are subject to the control of the evil one. Satan is your father. The devil is your father, and you are in bondage to him. And that's the truth. And that's the reason why you reject the truth. You don't care to receive the truth. Now, the Lord could see that the scribes and Pharisees were still in bondage to sin because the word of God had no place in their hearts. Look at verse 37. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me. Why? Because my word hath no place in you. Now, it wasn't that they didn't know God's word. No, the Lord Jesus Christ was talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, and the scribes were experts in the laws of God. They were experts in the as far as the Old Testament was concerned. They had expert knowledge of the Old Testament. That was what they were. Yes, but friends, sad to say, even though they knew the word of God in their mind, it was not in their heart. The word of God had no place in their hearts. You know what was in their heart? What was in their heart was the traditions, or were the traditions of men which they had invented. There were something like 600 of them. And they were only interested in following the traditions that they had invented, about 600 of them. And what else were they interested in? They were only interested in obeying the letter of the laws of Moses and not the spirit of the law of Moses. Yes. And so they said, it's all right to hate. So long as we don't kill, we are not guilty of murder. You see, they observed the law to the very letter. I don't kill, I'm all right. I'm allowed to hate. My dear friends, that kind of obedience is, of course, not true obedience. Yes, the word of God had no true place in their hearts. Now, if the laws of Moses really had their proper place in their hearts, then they would have realized that they were wretched sinners indeed. And they would have realized that they could never be saved by observing the laws of Moses. They would realize that it was utterly impossible for them to observe the laws of Moses perfectly. And they would see that they were lost. And then they would see that salvation could only be obtained through faith, just like the way Abraham obtained salvation through faith. Now, all of us here, can we say that we are not in bondage to sin? Can we say that? We are not in bondage to sin. Now, if the Word of God has no place in our hearts, we are indeed in bondage to sin. It is when we really hide God's Word in our heart that we are really not in bondage to sin. Yes, hiding God's Word in our heart, meditating on God's Word, obeying His Word. It is when we hide His Word in our heart that we are not in bondage to sin. One time I read these words written on the front page of a Bible given by a father to his daughter. And the words were this: either this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. How true, my dear friends. Yes, if this daughter of this man was in bondage to sin, that bondage to sin will keep her from that book. But if the words of that book were hiding in her heart, yes, she will be kept from the bondage of sin. How true. So you see, the Jews, because they were in bondage to pride, deceived themselves into thinking that they were not in bondage at all. Pride was controlling them. So they said, we are not in bondage to anything. But in truth, as we said, politically, they were in bondage to the Romans during the time of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And historically, many times they were in bondage. But most importantly, spiritually, they were in bondage. They were in bondage to sin, and they were in bondage to the devil. Now, how else did the Jews deceive themselves? Again, it was pride that was responsible for that deception. They deceived themselves into thinking that they were Abraham's seed, that they were Abraham's children. You look at verse 33. They answered him, "We are Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Now, of course, they were physical descendants of Abraham. All right, no denying that. But, dear friends, they were not spiritual descendants of Abraham. And they had deceived themselves into thinking that they were true Jews, true descendants of Abraham, true spiritual descendants of Abraham. But they were not. Now, who are the true descendants, true spiritual descendants of Abraham? I'd like us to look at Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 to 7. But keep your finger at Romans 8. But turn, please, to Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. These are true Jews. These are people who are true spiritual descendants of Abraham. Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. I read for you. "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." So who are children of Abraham? It is those who have the same kind of faith as Abraham had. They are those who believe that salvation is not by works, but by faith in Jesus Christ. These are the true children of Abraham. And I'd like us to turn to another passage. Please turn with me to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2 and verses 28 and 29. Romans 2, 28 and 29. But keep your finger at John 8. But please turn to Romans 2, 28, 29. Alright. I read for you. "For he is not a Jew." Alright. "Not a true descendant of Abraham, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of man but of God." So who is a true Jew? A true Jew is one who is a Jew inwardly. And of course, the Jews in those days and today would go through circumcision. But the Word of God says that physical circumcision is no indication that the person is a true Jew. That circumcision that is true circumcision is spiritual circumcision. It is the separation of the sinful nature, the sinful flesh, from the heart that makes a person a true Jew. Right then, that is true circumcision. Now, the Jews thought that by their works of trying to observe the laws of Moses and their going to the ritual of circumcision would qualify them for heaven. How deceived they were. They thought that by doing all these religious activities, they would be identifying themselves as children of Abraham. But they were wrong. They had deceived themselves into thinking that they were children of Abraham, when in fact they were not. Now, Abraham was imputed with righteousness because he believed God. Abraham was saved by faith and not by works. If these Jews wanted to be real Jews, spiritual Jews, then, like Abraham, they must have the same kind of faith. They must put their trust in the one true living God and not trust in their good works to be saved. Friends, let us understand that good Christian parentage does not make us Christians. True faith cannot be inherited. The Jews could not inherit their faith from their ancestor Abraham. They could not say that, we are God's people because we are descendants of Abraham. No, they could not say that. They themselves must have faith in the one true living God. And as we said earlier on, their going to the ritual of circumcision could not save them. Likewise, my dear friends, our subjecting ourselves to baptism, to water baptism, cannot save us. Let us never think that we went through baptism when we were young, we went through baptism some one day in our life, and therefore we are saved. No, my dear friends, you are not saved because of water baptism. You are saved because of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is faith alone in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from your sin that saves you. Now, they also could not be Abraham's children because they sought to kill a man who told them the truth. They could not have been. Yes, the Lord says this in verse 40. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I've heard of God. This did not Abraham. Abraham didn't do such a thing. Abraham didn't try to kill somebody who told him the truth. Yes. Now, surely we can never ever imagine Abraham killing somebody who told him the truth that person had received from God. Yes. Now, think of the number of occasions heavenly beings appeared to Abraham. Think of them. Think of the heavenly beings that appeared to Abraham to tell him about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And think of the heavenly beings appearing to him to announce to him that he and his wife... his wife in the following year will be bringing forth a child, when he was at that time 99 years old and his wife 89 years old. Now, what was his reaction to all these truths that were spoken to him? My dear friends, Abraham received the truth gladly. He believed in the truth gladly. He believed in the announcers of the truth. Now, what about the Jews during the time of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in this confrontation with the Lord? They did exactly the opposite. Not only would they not want to listen or hear the Son of God who told them the truth, not only did they not want to hear the Lord Jesus Christ, but they wanted to kill him as well. Now, of course, we might say that, what the Lord Jesus Christ said to them, even though it was true, but the truth was very, very unpleasant. Yes, the Lord was telling them that they were in bondage, and therefore they rejected the truth. True, all right? They rejected the truth because the truth was unpleasant. But what about their wanting to kill him? My dear friends, that kind of behavior surely was evil. Now again, it is easy for us to look at the Jews and judge them for the evil of wanting to kill the Lord Jesus Christ for telling them the truth. But what about ourselves, my dear friends? How do we feel when someone tells us the truth about us from the Word of God. How do we feel? Do we get angry with that person when he tells us the truth about us from the Word of God? And I know, I'm sure you have heard of people leaving the church because the pastor had spoken on something that touched them on the raw nerve, and then they just couldn't take it, and then they leave the church. I trust, dear friends, you will not be offended if some preachers from this pulpit were to speak the truth to you, something that you find very, very hard to take. Yes, I trust you will not be offended if I tell you the truth about you from God's Word. Now, the preacher here speaks the truth to you. Why? Because he wants you to feel small? Because he wants to hurt you? No, my dear friends, the preacher speaking from this pulpit speaks the truth to you because he loves you. He cares for you. He wants to be protective over you. That's why he speaks the truth to you. He has to speak the truth to you because on the judgment day, he will be answerable for the failings of his members, the members of his church, yes, against which he did not warn them about. He's responsible for that. He's answerable for their failings. So he has to speak the truth to you. And friends, if you are easily offended by one who tells you the truth from God's Word to the point of hating that someone, you need to search your hearts. Are you not like the Jews? They were not believers. That is why they could not bear to hear the truth that was spoken to them. They wanted to kill Jesus because the Lord Jesus spoke the truth to them from the one true living God, something which they could not bear to hear. The Lord told them, "You are in bondage." They could not bear to hear that truth, and they wanted to kill him. I trust, friends, all of us here are not deceived into thinking that we are Abraham's children when we are not. You are truly Abraham's children, spiritual children, if like him, you have faith in the one true living God, just as Abraham had. And we are truly Abraham's children if we receive the truth gladly, even if the truth doesn't sound very pleasant to us when someone tells us about the truth. And we are very, very glad that that someone tells us the truth, and we do not hate that someone for telling us the truth. That is a good indicator that we are indeed spiritual children of Abraham. Now, the Jews had deceived themselves that they were not in bondage to sin and to the devil. They deceived themselves into thinking that they were spiritual descendants of Abraham. But, friends, they needed not to continue to be deceived. They needed not to continue to be in bondage. They could be delivered, and the Lord Jesus Christ could deliver them. The Lord says in verse 31 and verse 32, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believe on him, If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, what is this truth that the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about? Now, if we read John 17:17, you don't have to turn to that verse. If we read John 17:17, the truth here refers to the word of God. Yes, this truth, the word of God, makes us free. Makes us free because it sets us free from our self-deception, and it sets us free from the bondage of sin. It tells us the truth about ourselves. Yes, that is why it is able to set us free from our sins, because it tells us the truth about ourselves. The Word of God is like a perfect mirror that tells us exactly what we are. One of the former kings of Jordan, King Abdullah, had many occasions to entertain. He had a banquet hall to entertain, and there were two adjoining rooms, one before the banquet hall and then the other room after the banquet hall. And he would invite his guests to, first of all, go to the first hall. And in the first hall, he had mirrors installed. And these mirrors were distorting mirrors. So you walk through the room, you look at yourself, and you think that you are very thin because they distort your shape and you look very, very thin. Then you go through the banquet hall, you eat the food served by the king, and after that he will bring you to the other room. And the other room again has got distorting mirrors, but the mirrors make you look very fat. Yes. So one mirror showed them that they were thinner than they actually were, and the other one showed them that they were fatter than they really were. But God's word is different. God's word is not like those mirrors. It tells us the truth about us. It is the perfect mirror that tells us that we are wretched sinners who have broken every of God's laws. It tells us that we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It tells us that we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. Yes, it tells us that there is none righteous, no, not one. And even tells us about the sins of great men of faith, people like Abraham, David, and Peter. God's word doesn't mean any words at all when it comes to talking about their sins. God tells us very, very clearly through his word that these had sins. And God's word shows us that they had sins. And God's word lists the sins we are capable of committing and have committed. Look at this list. Look at Galatians chapter 5. It tells us very, very clearly the kinds of sins that we are guilty of and, or are capable of being guilty of. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. Please turn to these verses, 19 to 21. Galatians 5, 19 to 21. Now, the works of the flesh, verse 19, are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. There we say that we are not guilty of any one of them. I dare say that we are guilty of at least some of them. Yes, guilty. But the word of God does not only show us what we really are. As we said, it's a perfect mirror. It does not only show us what we really are. But because that would not be enough to save us from our self-deception, it will not be good enough to save us from our bondage to sin. But it also tells us how we may be delivered from our self-deception, how we may be able to be delivered from our bondage of sin. It tells us very clearly, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from our sins, of course. It tells us, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. When we come and trust Jesus as Lord and Savior, straight away we stop being children of the evil one. We stop being children of Satan. Straight away, we become children of the one true living God. God gives us the right, the privilege to become the sons and daughters of God. He will deliver us from the bondage of sin, and that he will deliver us from self-deception. My friends, the question is, do you allow the word of God to show you the truth? Do you allow the word of God to show you the truth? If you do, the next question is, have you received this truth into your heart? Yes, you see yourselves in the mirror. This is my actual condition. But friends, have you received the truth into your heart? Have you received Jesus into your heart? And then as for those of us who have been set free from our bondage to sin, set free from the devil, let us never get back to that bondage again. Let us never go back. Now, like the Jews in those days, we are very, very capable of deceiving ourselves. Yes, we are very, very capable of deceiving ourselves into thinking that we are free and are not in bondage to Satan, not in bondage to sin. And we are very, very capable of deceiving ourselves into thinking that we are safe when we are not safe. My dear friends, yes, let us be very, very careful. And the reason why we are capable of deceiving ourselves is because we are in bondage to the sin of pride. Let us ask the Lord this morning to take away first of all the sin of pride, so that we will not be in bondage to this sin. And if we are not in bondage to this sin, we will not be in bondage to many sins. And the Lord is able to deliver us from our self-deception, and he's able to deliver us from the bondage of sin. He's able to, and he makes use of this instrument, the word of God, to deliver us. So the question for all of us this morning is, are we willing to let the Word of God speak to us? Are we willing to receive His Word into our heart? Are we willing to allow the Word of God to work in us, to cause us to repent from our sins, to cause us to come to trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior? Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your goodness. Oh Lord, we know that we are very good at deceiving ourselves. We know that if we have not turned to you and received you as our Lord and Savior, we are in bondage to sin and in bondage to the evil one. We pray this morning that you will make things very, very clear for us to understand. And we pray that, Lord, we may be willing to receive your word into our hearts so that we may be set free from our sins by your grace. Oh, Lord, we pray that we may receive your word gladly, because we know that if we allow your word to speak to us and very honestly say yes to your word, we will be in a position to receive our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So, Lord, this morning, we pray that our hearts may be open to your word. Our hearts may be open to the Lord Jesus Christ to receive him into our hearts. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.